We will begin on Daf Chav Tes Amud Aleph, 11 lines from the top. It says in the Pasuk, Ksiv, Vaperach, the flowers, Vaneros, and the lamps, Vabun Kachayim, the tweezers that were used for the menorah, Zavhu. And the Pasuk continues describing that gold as Mechiloi Zav. Asking Ramai Mechiloi Zav, what is the definition of Mechiloi Zav? Answers the Gemara, Omer of Ami, Shekilsu Chal Zav Sogl Shishloima. Shloima Melech had a type of gold called Zav Sogr. And the Gemara is saying that all of Shloima Melech Zav Sogr was used up in the making of the menorah. As we're going to learn later in the Masechta, actually, Shloima Melech manufactured 10 menorahs. According to some opinions, those menorahs weren't actually used. The menorah that was used was the menorah of Moshe Rabbeinu. They were just there around, surrounding Moshe Rabbeinu's menorah. And all of the Zav Sogr was used to build that menorah. What is Zav Sogr? I saw three pshatim. One pshat Zav Sogr is that it was such a high quality gold that when that gold was available, all other stores Sogr were closed because nobody's going to buy that gold. Other gold when this gold is available. Another pshat is on the opposite. Whoever had such gold, Sogr, would keep it locked away, not available to anyone else. And a third pshat that I saw in Zav Sogr is that it was pure gold. It was very pure gold. Domer Rabbi Yehuda, Amarav, Es Menorahs Asu Shloima. Shloima Melech manufactured 10 menorahs. V'kol achas v'achas hevi lo 1,000 kikar zav. For every menorah, 1,000 kikar of zav were brought. V'chnisu 1,000 pamim l'kor. And then it was put into a kiln to be refined. V'midua al kikar. And then they reduced, after all of this refining, down to a kikar. Asked the Gemara, is it true that all of Shlomo HaMelech's gold was used up? V'ksiv v'kol kli mashka melech Shlomo zov, v'kol kli beis yar halvona zov sogar. Ein kesev. Silver was meaningless because he had so much gold. And he was saying that he used it all up for the menorah. So he answered the Mepharshim, asked the Mepharshim, perhaps Shlomo Melech was wealthy with silver, but gold indeed was used up. So answered the Mepharshim, and that's Peshat in the Gemara, that if Shlomo Melech was relying on silver to be wealthy, then the Pasuk wouldn't say, Ein kesef nechshav b'mei Shlomo l'muma. The fact that the Pasuk says that about Shlomo Melech is a clearly indication that he did have gold. And here we say that he used up that much gold. Answers the Gemara, Zav Sogr coming in. What the Pasuk was referring to is that he used up all of his Zav Sogr for the menorah. Other gold he indeed still had. Ask the Gemara. So here we're learning there was an incredible rate of reduction through the refining process. They began with 1,000 kikar, and they were reduced to 1 kikar through the refining. Ask the Gemara, Michasa Kulahai, is it true that that gold gets reduced that much through refining? For Tanya Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mais v'hois menorahs beis hamikdash yisera al moshe b'din azav. The menorah of the beis hamikdash was too heavy with a dov zav kudikuni, the type of a coin. And Mepharshim here asks, what's shot that the menorah was more? You have to have the right amount. So how could it be that it was too big? So the simple shot that the Mepharshim suggests is that when they were making the menorah, they discovered that they had too much gold. Another shot that I saw is that they changed, and we have this many times in the Gemara, the amount of gold, let's say they changed the amount that's an ounce, the amount that's in a pound, they changed it, and because they changed the valuations, they had to change the menorah accordingly. Another pshat is that only by Moshe Rabbeinu was Hashem makbid, it should be a certain weight. Other times, there wasn't that type of concern. And the last pshat that I saw is that the concern is that it shouldn't weigh less than a kikar. If it's more than a kikar, it isn't a concern, but they wanted it to weigh a kikar. So the Gemara says, V'chnisu beis pei pam l'kor, it was put in 80 times into the kiln, v'medu al kikar. Now, if there's such a strong rate of reduction, if it were put down in 80 times into the kiln, it would have been reduced much more than just this small amount. So we see that it doesn't get reduced that much by being refined. Answers the Gemara, kim the kai kai, which means that when you refine gold, yes, you start with refining it, and it keeps on losing weight every time you put it into the oven. But at a certain point, it gets so pure, there's nothing more for it to lose. And that's what happened over here. Continues the Gemara, Amar Rav Shmuel ben Nachmani, Amar Rav Yonasan. The Pasuk says regarding the menorah, Al menorah ha-tahira, shiyardu maseah b'makam tahara. The Pasuk means is that the menorah came down from Shemayim, which is a place of tahara. Ask the Gemara, El Ma'atev, that's pshat. When the Pasuk says regarding the Shulchan, Al Shulchan Atar, will we also say, shiyardu maseah b'makam tahar, that the Shulchan came down from the Shemayim? El Atar, what does tar mean? Mechlal shu tamei. The Pasuk is teaching us that the Shulchan can become tamei. The Gemara will explain that in a moment. Hachinami asked the Gemara, why don't we say by the menorah the same, that when the Pasuk says the word tahira regarding the menorah, what it means is mechlal shu tamei, that it's susceptible to tuma? Answers the Gemara. Bishlama, regarding the Shulchan, we could explain it, k'resh lakish. Dam resh lakish, maidik siv, Al Shulchan Atar, what does the Torah call Al Shulchan Atar? Bechlal Shitame. It seems to teach us that it could be Makabal Tuma. Now the question is, why is Makabal Tuma? Isn't the Shulchan a Kli Eitz? We know that the Shulchan was made out of wood, and the Halach is that a Kli Eitz, Osir L'Nachas, it's a Kli Eitz that's made to be stationary, and the Halach is that called Kli Eitz, Osir L'Nachas, any Keli that's meant to be stationary, and a Makabal Tuma. So how could we be Makabal Tuma? So Mefarshim Taisus asks an obvious question. The Shulchan isn't meant to be stationary. While they were in the Midbar, the Shulchan used to travel with them. So one teretz, simple teretz, is once they got to the Beis HaMikdash, it became stationary. And that's why it's considered a keli that's made to be stationary. Another pshat that I saw is that, yes, it traveled in the Midbar. So if it would have traveled by itself, that would mean that it's not stationary. But when it traveled, the entire Mishkan traveled. So that's the way it's stationary. That's where it's supposed to be. Along the same thought, since all of the traveling, as the Pasuk says, was al-pi Hashem, where the Kodesh Baruch Hu's directive, so it's where it's traveling is where it's supposed to be. Ella, so again, why is it Mekabel Tuma? And from here we see actually, lahalocha. We know how was the Shulchan made. It was indeed made out of wood, but it was coated with gold. So from here we see that when we look at a keli, we don't look at the coating, we look at the actual keli, and that's why it's called a kli eitz. Ela melamed, what happened was, Shemagbin Oysel Oyle Regolim, when Klal Yisrael would come to be Oyle Regolim on the Yom Tovim, they would pick up the Shulchan, Umarim Lehem Lechem Aponim, they would show them Lechem Aponim, and they would say to Klal Yisrael, Ru chibaschem lefnei malkam. See how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves you. What does that mean, my chibaschem? How was it shown? Kibishu ben Levi. Damer Shu ben Levi. Nes godl nasa v'lechem upon him. There would be a tremendous nes happening with the lechem upon him. Salukai kisaduroi. They took it out a week, or maybe even more than a week, after it was put in, after it was baked, and it was still warm with smoke coming out. Shnema. So that's what it means, that it was not, it was Mekabel Tuma, because it was lifted out of its place. Very big machlokes. What does it mean that it was lifted? Some Rishonim say that they didn't take it out of the Beis HaMikdash, because the halacha is it has to be tumid, it has to be constantly there. What they would do is open the entrance of the Mishkan, open the entrance of the Beis HaMikdash, and people standing in the Azara could see inside the Beis HaMikdash and see the smoke coming out of the Shulchan. Other Rishonim say that they indeed took it out of the Beis HaMikdash to the Azara for people to see. The Pasuk says Tamid. Taking it to the Azara is not a contradiction to Tamid. A third pshat that I saw, there's a beautiful way of understanding this pshat, is that when you have a Yontif, Pesach, Sukkot, you're going to have a Shabbos. And as we've learned, and we'll continue learning, every Shabbos they took out the old lechem upon him and put in the new lechem upon him. So when they took out the old lechem upon him, put on the new lechem upon him, they took out that bread to the Azara, not the whole shulchan. They took out the bread, and everybody was able to see the bread. In fact, I saw a beautiful pshat. The Rabbi Gedal Yeshua says that in the Chassidish Sfarim, it seems that the Shabbos after Shavuos is a yontif. And the question is, what makes that Shabbos a yontif? So he says it's from the Chartkova. He says, Pesach, Sukkot, you're going to have a Shabbos. It'll be yontif, it'll be Chol HaMoed. You're going to have a Shabbos. You can't have 7 days without a Shabbos. But you could go through Shavuos without having a Shabbos. Shavuos is a one-day yontif. And this lechem upon him happened on Shabbos. So how will the people, every yontif, they had to see the lechem upon him? How will they ever see the lechem upon him if there was no Shabbos? So they would remain in Yerushalayim through the Shabbos after Shavuos to see the lechem upon him. And that's why the Shabbos after Shavuos is a yontif. So Mefarshim go on to try to understand why is it so important for them to see the lechem upon him? So the Pashup Shat is because the lechem upon him represents that all of our panosa, all of our livelihood comes from Hashem. And that was the lesson they wanted to teach Klal Yisrael, that it comes from Hashem. The Shulchan represents that all of our panosa is from Hashem. To the point that I saw a beautiful vart from the Satmar Rebbe. We know, the Gemara discusses it, we mentioned I think just the other day, that they went to great lengths not to let anybody go into the Beis HaMikdash, certainly not into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, unless it was absolutely necessary. And the Gemara, in fact, says that if they had to do a repair in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, they would have a special hole in the roof through which the workers would climb in, suspended, not looking what they're not supposed to look. Says the Satmar Rebbe, here we see how far they went to keep everybody out of the Beis HaMikdash. And here they're opening up the Beis HaMikdash and showing everybody the Shulchan. What's Pshat? So he says a gorgeous Pshat. He's saying the lesson that we just discussed, that everybody should recognize that Panasa comes from Hashem, is such an important lesson that all the rules that we want to keep everything in the Beis HaMikdash concealed fall away. But then I saw another Pshat. The Gemara says that by showing them the Lechem upon him, Ru'u Chibaschem Lefnei Amakam. Look how much Hashem loves you. Why does that show how much Hashem loves you? So Mefarshim explained. The Gemara says that we know that while Klal Yisrael was in the Midbar, they got mon every day. And the Gemara asks, why did Hashem make that they should get mon every day? He should have delivered mon once a year, and they'll have mon for the entire year. The answer is, because if they had mon coming only once a year, they wouldn't daven to Hashem every day. They wouldn't feel the need to turn to Hashem. We have enough months sitting in the refrigerator. Hashem wants us to talk to him and ask him for panasa. Says the Gemara, the lesson of the Shulchan is that panasa comes from Hashem. And the lesson of panasa is how much Hashem loves us. Ruchi baschem lefnei amakam, how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us, that he wants us to daven to him for our panasa on a daily basis. Elohacha goes back to Gemara, that we could understand regarding the Shulchan, that the Torah has to teach us that the Shulchan is Mekabel Tumah. Elohacha Torah, but when we speak about the Menorah, and the Pasuk says that it's Torah, is the Diyuk, Mechlal Shetmeya? Of course it's Mekabel Tumah. Pshita, Klimatchus Nuhu, it's made out of gold. The Klimatchus, Mekabel Tumah. So what does the Torah mean when it says Torah? It means, El Shiar de Maseh Makom Torah, that the Menorah came down min Hashemayim. Tanya Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Aron Shalesh, the Aron was made out of fire. The Shulchan Shalesh, the Shulchan was made out of fire. Or Menorah Shalesh, and a menorah of fire. Yod Min Hashemayim, all came down Min Hashemayim. V'ra Moshe, Moshe saw them. V'asa K'moisam. Shenemar, V'rei V'aseket Avnisam Ashtamar Bahar. Ask the Gemara Ma'ato, if that's how we're going to explain the Pasuk. Ask the Gemara, the Pasuk says that Hashem was said to Moshe Rabbeinu, "Vaykimaisas haMishkan kaMishpata Asheris Bahar." Hachinami, does it mean a ready-made Mishkan came down in the Shemayim? Answers the Gemara, "Hachaksiv kaMishpatai." Here, by these things, the Torah says kaMishpatai, but the Mishkan it's only kaMishpatai. Whereas by these other kelim, Hasan Ksiv, the Torah says the words Ketav Nisam, which indicate that they came down completely ready. Continues the Gemara, Amar Chiva Abba, Amar of Yochanan, Gavriel, Chogur Kemin Peskaya, Gavriel was wearing a belt, was wearing an apron, Veheralai L'Moshe, and he demonstrated to Moshe Masa Menorah, how to make the Menorah, the Ksiv V'zeh Masa Menorah. So as Mefarshim explained, Gavriel is the Malach HaEsh, is the Malach HaFire, and since he's the Malach HaFire, that's why he was the one to make the Menorah out of fire. Mefarshim go on to teach us that the Gemara is teaching us a very important lesson. There are people that, so to speak, don't want to get their hands dirty. I'm not going to work on making a Menorah. Teaches us who made the Menorah. Gavriel. Moshe. Gavriel put on the workman's apron. When it comes to the Avodas HaKodesh, there is no excuse that's not befitting to me. Tana Bar Shmuel. Shlosh Dvarim Hayu Kashin Al Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu found difficulty with three different areas halacha. At Sheherlai HaKadosh Baruch Hu Betzpoy. Until HaKadosh Baruch Hu demonstrated to him to how they should be made. Menorah. Rosh Chodesh. So as the Brisk Rav explains, what's the lesson of Rosh Chodesh? Because we know, he says, we learned the Gemara Masechta Rosh Hashanah, that in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, the way they declared the new month was when they saw the new moon. So, see the new moon. Two Eidim come. We have Rosh Chodesh. But says the Brisk Rav, Hashem knew there's going to come a time, like the times we live in now, that we do it all based on calculation. When the new moon appears. But the question is, at what point is it considered already a new moon that it should be considered the new month? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu the exact size of the moon that that should be the time when Rosh Chodesh should be declared. V'shrotzim. Here too the Brisk Rav explains what was so difficult about Shrotzim. So he explains, we know, we learned in Parashat Shemini, that the Torah gives very clear description of what are the simonim of a kosher animal. Malagera, Mafris Parsa. But there are no simonim for the Shrotzim. What makes a kosher sheretz versus a non-kosher sheretz? It's all based on Masorah, and what's kosher and what's not kosher. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to show Moshe Rabbeinu which are kosher, which are not. Menorah, how do we know? The Ksiv is a Masa Menorah. Rosh Chodesh, the Ksiv HaChodesh is Elochem Rosh Chodoshim. Shrotzim, the Ksiv is Elocha Atomei. Yosh Aymrim, Av Hilcha Shechita. That he also showed him the Hilcha Shechita, Shenemar, Ve'ezeh Shatasa Mezbeach, how to do Shechita. So I saw a beautiful word from Baruch Shimon Schneerson, Shabin Rosh Yeshiva, explaining what is the common denominator of all of these four things that the Gemara says Moshe Rabbeinu saw. He says, the common denominator for all of these things are, they represent what a person could accomplish. What does it mean? Menorah represents the Menorah Shalesh, the Shekhinah. A person through his actions could bring the Shekhinah down to this world. Rosh Chodesh, he says, is a fantastic example. The Gemara, we quoted the Gemara Masechta Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara Masechta Rosh Hashanah says, Atafil Meshogigim, Atafil Mezidim. No matter what, if Bezdin declares that a certain day is Rosh Chodesh, it is Rosh Chodesh. So that's the power, that we could make a day Rosh Chodesh just based on our declaration. Shrotzim is just the opposite. How a person who's a chelik al kaimim al, every one of us has in ourselves so much kedusha. If we eat shrotzim, if we eat machol sasuris, we end up being on a very low level. Shechita, again, is the power of a person. Here we have an animal, which is certainly usur to eat. You're not allowed to eat an animal. And you take a person and he shechts that animal. And by shechting that animal, he makes it into a kosher animal. The power of what a person can accomplish, the power of what a person can accomplish is the lesson of this Gemara. Shtei parashas mezuzah, we learned in the Mishnah, the two parashas of the mezuzah, Shema v'hoi Yisharaya, Mak v'zuzu, v'fil k'sav echad ma'akvan. So as Mefarshim explained, the Gemara asks Pshita. The Gemara's question is, of course, that you have to write the mezuzah perfectly. What's the Mishnah teaching us? So as Mefarshim explained, to teach us that the Shtei parashas mezuzah, that these two parashas are considered one mitzvah, not two separate mitzvahs, is indeed a chiddush. But that you have to write the letters perfectly, obviously. Why does our Mishnah have to teach us this? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Merav, Le'nitzcha el Kutsa Shal Yod. Machlokes Rishonim, what is the definition of a Kutsa Shal Yod? Rashi explains that the Kutzah Shel Yud is on the bottom, on the right of the Yud. It has to come to a point. Rabbeinu Tam and Rosh disagree. Rabbeinu Tam says it's on the bottom of the left side. It has to come to a point. The Rosh says it's on the top of the left side. It has to come to a point. Many Mefarshim, many Paiskim are of the opinion there's actually no Machlokes of Rabbeinu Tam and Rosh. They both agree that besides the Kutzah Shel Yud of Rashi, you have to have Rabbeinu Tam and Rosh as Kutzah Shel Yud. However, it seems that is the opinion of most Paiskim that of course we should have a Kutzah Shel Yud. But let's say you open up a Sefer Torah and it doesn't have a Kutzah Shel Yud, you could continue reading the Rabbeinu Tam and Rosh's Kutzah Shel Yud, you could continue reading from that Sefer Torah. There is a Machlokes if you have a Sefer who deliberately doesn't make the Kutzah Shel Yud of Rabbeinu Tam and Rosh, should you ask him no longer to be a Sefer? Ask the Gemara for Nami Pshita. That's the letter Yud. So of course it has to be written properly. Answer the Gemara, L'chad Idach Rabbi Yehuda Amarav. Dom Rabbi Yehuda Amarav, Kol Ois, Sh'ein Gvil Mukafla, any letter that doesn't have space around it, Ma'av Chusah, Psula. And here we have a very big Machlokes Rishonim. What is the definition of Mukav Gvil? Rashi learns the definition of Mukav Gvil is that one letter is not allowed to touch another letter. Other Rishonim have a much stricter interpretation. Their interpretation is there has to be space from all four sides around every letter. What is the nafkamina? Let's say you write the letter on the edge of the parchment. According to Rashi, it's not a problem. According to the other Rishonim, there is an empty space all around and you have an issue. Furthermore, there's some Paiskim that say that the issue of Mukav Gvil is only on top of the letter. On the bottom of the letter, even if it's touching the letter below it, or it doesn't have its space, it's not such a big problem, because you could always make it shorter, you can make the letter just shorter. The top you can't take off. Others disagree. Furthermore, very important, Machlokes HaPaiskim, some Paiskim say that the issue of Mukav Gvil is only while the letter is being written. Others say that the issue of Mukav Gvil is always. What would be the nafkamina? There's a very important halacha, fundamental halacha, and this is where tefillin and mezuzah are different than Sefer Torah. Sefer Torah could be written shloika sidrin. You don't have to write it in the proper order. Tefillin and mezuzah have to be written one letter after the other letter after the other letter. And let's say you write, and the sefer writes the whole parasha, the whole tefillin, and he discovers a problem at the beginning, he has to discard that tefillin. So what would be the halacha if a letter was written Mukav Gvil in tefillin and mezuzah, and then, because of different environmental reasons, the letter expands and it's no longer Mukav Gvil? So by Sefer Torah, you could certainly correct it. The question is, could you correct it by tefillin and mezuzah? Will it be considered Shalaika Sidrit? If we say that Mukav Gvil is only at the time of writing, so it's not an issue. If the issue of Mukav Gvil is at all times, so once it becomes possible, fixing it puts you into the category of Shloika Sidrin. Amar Hashem b'Mabach b'Shmei Rabbi Yehuda. Nikav Toichah Shel Hei. Kosher, Yirechei Pasul. And Rashi says, two pshatim this Gemara. One pshat Rashi says, as we know that a hay has the left side, the little piece, and the right side. And the Gemara is saying, if in the left side on that little piece, there's a nikav, there's a hole, it doesn't disqualify it. However, if on the right side, there's a hole on the long leg, that would disqualify it. Others say, another pshat that Rashi says, is of course the left side and the right side have to be proper. Here we're talking about the empty space between the legs. Even if there's a hole in that empty space, it doesn't become possible. Om Rav Zera, L'day Mefash L'mened Rav Hunan Rav Yaakov, Om L'day Mefash L'mened Rav Yaakov, Nikav, Toichah Shel Hei, Kosher, Tup Shotin, Yerechoy, Im Nishtai Bak Ois Ketanik Shera, if this still looks like the right, like you have a proper hay, it will be kosher, the mla posel. Says the Gemara, Agra chamuder of Abba. Agra, who was the father of Rav Kama, if like kara the hay do'am, the hay of the word ho'am got chopped up, osla kameder of Abba, omale mishtaiba kishir ois ketana kosher, if you still have like your ois ketana, it's kosher, the mla posel. Says the Gemara, Rami batamra, du chamud Rami batakuli. Rami Batamra, who was the father of Rami Batakula, so, very interesting discussion in the Paiskim based on this Gemara. Here, we know there's a very famous Tzavas, Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, that says that a father-in-law and a son-in-law shouldn't have the same name. Here we see that there was a father-in-law whose name was Rami, and there was a son-in-law, Rami. So we see that the father-in-law and the son-in-law didn't have the same name. So, based on this Gemara, there are a number of different explanations how to understand this Gemara together with the Tzavas of Yehuda HaChassid. Some say, based on this Gemara and other Gemaras, that Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid's Tzava was only said for his descendants. It wasn't said for other people. Because Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid saw that his descendants, if they enter into such a marriage, there may be problems. But these people weren't his descendants, so they didn't have to be careful with it. Another pshat that I saw is that even if a person is careful about the tzavas of Yehuda HaChassid, it's only when the two names of the father-in-law and son-in-law are exactly identical. Once they're not exactly identical, it's fine. And that's exactly what happened here. If we look, the spelling of the father-in-law's name, the son-in-law's name, isn't exactly the same. The father-in-law is Rami with Aleph. The son-in-law is Rami without an Aleph. That's enough that you shouldn't have a problem. A third pshat that I saw, why it isn't a problem for us, Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, it's only if the father-in-law and the son-in-law are both alive at the same time. But let's say somebody marries a woman and the father-in-law is no longer alive, then there is no issue. And the Stechemet explains why. He says, why was Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, he explains, concerned about a father-in-law and a son-in-law having the same name? He says, because in times of Chazal, people lived in the same homes as their in-laws. So let's say your wife is calling you, and you have the same name as your father-in-law, so it seems that she's calling her father by his name, which is, of course, a tremendous lack of derech eretz. But if the father-in-law is no longer alive, so there's no concern. So it could well be, they say, that the father-in-law was no longer alive when the son-in-law got married, and that's why there is no issue. It says the Gemara, Ramin bat Tamar, du chamud, Ramin bat Dekulei, Ishlakar devav de viharig benikva. The word viharig got, the letter of devav of that word got chopped up. Oslakamed Reb Zeira, it was brought with a shiloh to Reb Zeira, Amalei, to which he told him, Zil Aisi Anuka, bring a young child, Lechachem v'lei tipish, not too smart and not too foolish, of average intelligence. Ikarle v'yaharig, if he reads the word v'yaharig properly, kosher. Eloi, yaharig hu, it's obvious that he doesn't have the word, the writing is not good, and it's possible. So Mefarshim, the Paiskim, discussed this halacha, the very famous halacha that happens in many shuls, that in case there's a problem with the Sefer Torah, they call over a child. So firstly, all the Paiskim say that if the letter is obviously not good, calling a child and he reads it right won't make it good. Here, you can only rely on a child where you have a question, one point. Another point that the Paiskim make is that from here we see that when you call over a child, you don't cover up all the letters around, all the words and letters around the letter that you're asking him. Because if that's what you're doing, then you don't have to ask a child, and you don't have to see if he's smart or not smart. Look at this one specific letter. It must be, the Paiskim say, that what you should do is that the words and letters before the letter in question should be covered up, but the word after, the letters after, could be left there alone. When Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim, he was making crowns on the letters. We're going to discuss soon in the Gemara that certain letters have to have crowns. Why are you making these crowns? To which HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded, there's going to be a person in many generations, Akiva ben Yosef Shemai, whose name is Akiva, Shas literature called Kites for Kites, Tile Tilem Shalachas. He's going to use those crowns to teach us halachas. So I saw first a beautiful verse from the Arizal. The Pasuk, the Torah begins with the word Bereishis. And the Mefarshim say, what does the word Bereishis mean? Yeshishim Ribo Oisius Betaira. There's 600,000 letters in the Torah. And what that means is that every Jewish neshama has a letter of the Torah. It's known that when a person would meet the Gra, he would tell a person what letter in the Torah is your letter. But says the Arizal, Rabbi Akiva, we know, was a Benoy Shel Geirim. So he wasn't born Jewish. Or his family, at least, wasn't born Jewish. So he didn't have a letter in the Torah. Since he didn't have the letter in the Torah, that's why he was shown the Tagin, the crowns. That's his connection to the Torah. again, this is not a simple piece of Gemara that we're about to learn, but we need to put a perspective to the Gemara. So I saw, there are many pshatim. This is a beautiful pshat that I saw. The pshat that I saw is as follows. Moshe Rabbeinu was given all of Torah Shebiksav, was given all of Torah Shebalpeh. Everything was taught to Moshe Rabbeinu when he's in Shemayim. In future generations, what is the job, our job, when we learn Torah Shebalpeh, which is every blad of Gemara, we take the words of the Torah, and we have to find where these halachas are in the Torah Shebiksav. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu happened here. HaKadosh Baruch, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't understand what is Rabbi Akiva doing. Everything was delivered to him. He knew all of Torah Shebiksav and Torah Shebalpeh. What's the point of learning these crowns? To which HaKadosh Baruch told Moshe, your Liman HaTorah and the Liman HaTorah of future generations is a very different Liman HaTorah. The Liman HaTorah of future generations is a Liman of Torah that you have to find in the Torah every halacha. Amal from the Rebbe Shalom here early. Show me this Rebbe Akiva. Amal Chazor Allah Acharecha. Go back. Halach for Yosef B'Soy Shemon Ashurus. We know, the Gemara says many places, that when they learned, they used to sit in rows. Moshe Benu, so to speak, was sitting in the basement in the back of the shul. And he couldn't understand the way we just explained the Gemara. It's beautiful. He couldn't understand that type of learning. Toshash Koichai. He felt very unworthy. Kivin Shigil Adava Achat, when Rabbi Kiva was giving the shir, Omloi Tamidav, so Tamidim asked him, Rebbe Menayin Loch, how do you know this halacha? Omloim halach l'mashim Sinai, Nishyash V'datai. So Mepharshim asked, Moshe Rabbeinu needed the covet, that when Rabbi Kiva quoted halach l'mashim Sinai, that's when Moshe Rabbeinu was satisfied. So one shot that I saw, is that when Rabbi Kiva said, it's halach l'mashim Sinai, what was Rabbi Kiva showing? That he was an onuf, that he was extremely modest. He didn't take credit for himself. He says, all of our Torah comes from Moshe Rabbeinu. He says, such is a person that's worthy. One pshat I saw. Another pshat that I saw is as follows. Moshe Rabbeinu thought that there's a new Torah being given. Rabbi Kiva's darshaning, Torah that doesn't exist from before. And that he felt bad because he knew the Moshe Emes, the Terasa Emes, and we know we say every day in the Ani Mammons that you're not allowed to add. There's nothing new in the Torah. So when Rabbi Kiva made the statement, Halach L'Moshe Mis Sinai, he says that everything goes back to Sinai. He said, that's Emes HaTorah. And that's when he felt good. So continues the Gemara. Chaza Balaf Nekrash Baruch Hu, Moshe Rabbeinu comes to Hashem. Amo Fan Rabbeinu Shalom Yesh Lecha Adam Kazeh. There's going to be such a great individual. V'at Anoitim Torah Al Yodai. And you're giving the Torah through me. Amo L'Shtoik. Kach Ol B'Machshol L'Fonai. That's what I want. Amal Fan Rabban Shalom. So Moshe Rabbeinu continues with Hashem. Harisani Tarasa, you've shown me his Torah. Hareni Schara, show me what will be his schar, what will be his reward. Amal Chazar Lacharecha, go in time. Chaz Lacharev, Roya Shashoklin Basim Makulim. They saw that they were weighing his meat after he was killed. Rekiv was one of the Sarai Rugi Malchus, and they were weighing his meat in the market. That's what I wanted. Many pshatim to say here. I'm just going to say two. One pshat that I saw is that we know that Rashi says at the beginning of Parshas Bereishis that originally Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to create the world for Midas Hadin. He saw that the world cannot exist for Midas Hadin, so he added Midas Harachmin. But for Tzadikim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu continues with the Midas Adin. And that's what he said. Kach olav b'machshava l'fanai. I wanted the world to go with Midas Adin, and that's what tzaddikim are judged by. But then I saw a very powerful word from Rav Shach. Why did Rabbi Kiva indeed have such a hard life? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Kiva says, Kol yomai, Rabbi Kiva says, Hayisi mitzar. I wanted, Masa yovel yodeve kemena. When could I die from a serious nefesh for Hashem? So that's actually what Rabbi Kiva wanted. And that's why Rabbi Kiva, so to speak, got what he wanted. But says Rav Shach, let's look at this Gemara. It wasn't only that while he was alive that he was killed al Kiddush Hashem. Even after he left the world, they were weighing his meat in the butcher shop. He's no longer in the world. That was too much for Moshe Rabbeinu to absorb. Amar Finna. Amar Rava. Says Rav Huna. Says Rav Shiva Oisya Tzricha Shloisha Zudim. There's seven letters that require Ksarim, require Tagin. Zeilahein, Shatnas Gats. Although, the Rishonim, already Rashi, says that it's not only these seven letters. A tzaddik, not only a tzaddik sofi, requires shat gats, but even a regular tzaddik, and the same both types of nun. And there was a sefer, I think it goes back to the times of the Tanoim, called Sefer HaTagin, that is referred to, that indicates every letter in the Torah that has to have tagin. Interesting, machlokes rishonim, if a sefer Torah is missing the tagin, is it kosher or not? The Rambam seems to say that it's kosher, as it seems that is the opinion of the Rambam, what we discussed earlier in the shiur about the kutzah shel yod, that the Rambam holds that tefillin and mezuzah missing a kutzah shel yod will disqualify them. Sefer Torah is different. Continues, and the Mishnah Berurah usually doesn't say these kind of things, says, what is the significance of shat and skatz? He says, shat and skatz represent sotan and gatz. And sotan and gatz are the name of two shadim, two powers, destructive powers. And by having the tagin in the Sefer Torah, tefillin and mezuzah, we're able to ward them off. Amram Ashi. Chazin al Sefer Devakni, the Beirav. I saw the expert Sefer in Beirav. The Chatre Lagagi Dechas, that they would make a Chatre on the letter Ches. Here too we have a Machlokes Rashi and other Rishonim. What does that mean? Rashi says that they would make a, and we have both of these Pshatim and Taisus on the side, the letter Ches on the left side, it would go up a little piece. Another pshat is, as we also see in Taisus, that the letter Ches looks like two Zions. You'd have this upside down V between the two. Many Paiskim suggest that we should do both. V'tolei l'kari de hay, and they would have the left side of a hay touching the roof. So Mefarshim ask, if the left side of the hay is touching the roof, it looks like a ches. So how could you have that hay written that way? So I saw three pshatim. One pshat is that since it doesn't go all the way down, it's obviously it's not a ches. Another pshat is that it wasn't at the edge on the left side, it was in the middle. A ches, it's all the way on the left. One is on the right side, and one is on the left side, one leg. Here, the second leg wasn't by the edge. And another pshat is like we just explained. The ches has this kutz on top of it. The hay didn't, so they could tell the difference between the hay and the ches. And the Gemara goes in to explain it. Chatre l'gagi the ches. Why did they make this mark on top of the ches? Klai m'chayu b'roim u'shul oylem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is on top of the world. V'tol alei l'kar de hay. What was the significance of that? K'boi m'nei Rav Chia, Rav Yehuda Nasiya, Rav Ami. Ma'idik sebitcha b'Hashem adi ad. Kibka Hashem tzura alamim. Omalei kala toile b'tchoynoi b'Kadosh Baruch Hu. Whoever relies on Hashem. Harei loi machse b'oylem hazeh l'oylem haba. So it's a very powerful word. The Gemara wants to teach us how important it is for a person to have bitachon. So Gemara said, should have said, kol habetech b'Hashem. What's the wording of the Gemara? Kol ha'toil b'tchayinai. So it's a Meir de Gevart. A person could say, I don't have in me to have bitachon. Who could have bitachon? Great people could have bitachon. So teaches us the Gemara. Every person, every Jewish person is born with bitachon as part of his DNA. What he has to do is toil b'tchayinai. Take that bitachon which is naturally in him and use it to trust in Hashem. This was my question. What does the pasuk say? Why doesn't it say just the word ka? Which the Gemara answers, kedar shab Yehuda ber v'loy. Elish nei olamis, it represents the two worlds. Baruch Baruch Hu. One world was created behei vech b'yod. V'ani yedei, we just don't know. Ima olam haba b'yod v'olam hazeh behei. Which letter created which world? Kishoimer, when the pasuk says in Parshas Bereishis, Elo Tadosh Shemaim V'Aretz Bihi Baram, El Tikr Bihi Baram, El Abahei Baram. So we see that this world was created with a hey, the other world was with a yod. This world is like a pavilion. Whoever wants to leave the world and not act appropriately, we have the Bechira. My Talyakari, why is that letter? The Hoda B'tshula Mailalei. That he has the opportunity to do tshuva. Ask the Gemara, so why doesn't he do tshuva through the same entrance that he did, that he went out with? V'layla B'hach, Lemestai Milsa. It won't work. So I saw two pshatim, one, what does it mean, Lemestai Milsa? One pshat is a simple pshat. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give us many opportunities to do tshuva. So that's why he has two entrances in the hay. Another pshat is, the Rambam says that if a person wants to do tshuva, if a person has a certain trait and he wants to take it away, he has to go all the way to the other side. So if you're going to go back to where you started, it's not ripping out that trait. You have to start all over. And that's why Kodesh Baruch Hu gives us a whole new opening. Kiresh Lakish, Dharma Resh Lakish, Maidik Siv, Imlalaitzim Huyalitz, Lenerva Yitinchain. Bala Tahar, Messiah Nosai. Somebody wants to do the right thing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps him. Ba'ala Tameh, Paiskan Lai. So one pshat Ba'ala Tameh, Messiah Nosai, because somebody comes to do the right thing, he has the Midas HaEmes with him. Emes is the most powerful trait. And then I saw a beautiful pshat from Golbavitcher Rebbe. Ba'ala Taher, if you are a person that's Matar, that you're trying to be Matar of the world, you try to make the world a better place, Messiah Nosai, such a person has Siyata Deshmaya. Why is there a crowd on this letter? If a person does do tshuva and he calls by kasher, I will be HaKadosh Baruch Hu will connect this to him. Continue to Gemara. Why was the Olam Haba created with a yod? Answer the Gemara. They should stick in Bama Atim. Two pshat them. There's just not that many tzaddikim in the world. Another pshat is tzaddikim are humble, and that's why they're ma'utim. Umnayma Rasha. Every tzaddik has his own madrega. Here it says that if it has two mistakes, it could be corrected. But if it has three mistakes on every yuriya, it should be put away. But then there's another brisa that says, shal shisakin, three mistakes can be corrected. Arbi Yigonis. Tana, and we learned in the Braisa, Im Yesh by Daf Akash Shlema, if in the Sefer Torah there is one Daf which is perfect, Metzal Sakula. Amar Yisrael by Shmuel by Mas Mishmei the Rav. V'hu D'Ksiv, Ruba the Sefer Shapir. Even though we're saying that if you have one Daf, it's fine, it's only if the rest of the Sefer Torah is written properly. Amar Yisrael by Yosef. Yis by Hu Daf. If that Daf, which we're saying is a good Daf, that it should be able to be matzal the rest of the Sefer Torah, has three mistakes. What is the halacha? Since we say three mistakes could be corrected, it's not a problem. The hanimili, when is there concern that if the Sefer Torah has too many mistakes, it should be put away? It's only chaseris, if it's missing letters. Avyaseris, extra letters, less lambo, aren't such a concern. Chaseris my tamaloi, why are we more concerned about missing letters than extra letters? Amra papa mishun the Mexican numer. If you can add the missing letters, and you have to add them, fit them in, it's not nice. Agri Cham Deravua, Havla Yiseris Pesifer, he had extra letters. Oslo Kamed Rav Abba, Lo Meron, and he said El Bechaseris, only by missing letters, Av Yiseris, Les Lomba, extra letters, don't bother us because they can be corrected and it won't be so noticeable. Furthermore, along the same lines, the Paiskim say that's why it's only concerned by Sefer Torah, which is open for all of us to see. By Tefillin Mezuzahs that are enclosed in their boxes, you could always, if halachically permissible, fix them.